This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.
Welcome along to It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer. My name's Darren Harper and joining us, of course, the footballing legend that is Carlton Palmer. Hi, Carlton.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Yeah, really good. How are you?
Yeah, just a bit tired now because it's been a long term and we're just coming to the end now for the summer break. So both Lucy and I are really busy now and, you know, we fly back to UK on the 23rd. So just a lot of loose ends to tie up so we can relax in the summer for when we come back in September. So, well, late August. So, yeah, all good. All good.
Have you got lots planned during your summer over back in Blighty?
Well, we tend not to stay too long in the UK, to be honest with you. So I think within 3 days, Lucy flies off to Spain with one of the kids. And then we've got a place in Portugal, so I fly down there with the kids. And then we meet back in the UK, and then we fly to Barcelona for 3 nights. And then we're doing a med cruise. So, and then finishing Rome. And spend 3 nights in Rome and then fly back to the UK, spend a bit of time with the parents and then head back to Shanghai on the 8th of August.
Wow, that doesn't sound like a bad holiday at all, mate. Yeah, that sounds pretty marvellous. I am not jealous at all. No, not jealous at all.
Well, listen, Darren, it's like I've said to my kids, it's amazing, and this is where social media has affected the rest of the world,
yeah.
Right? And it's great to talk about all these things. But it's like I said to my missus, we should post, instead of post when we're on the cruise in the Med in the summer, we should post tomorrow morning when the alarm clock goes off at 5:15. My first fitness class tomorrow morning is at 6:30.
Wow.
My last fitness class tomorrow night will be at 6 o'clock, so I won't get back until 7:30. So we do 13 hours a day. And we don't complain because we get the opportunity to travel the world and have nice holidays. But this is what I'm saying about social media. It portrays this greatness in life, which it is, right? But
yeah.
The fact is, it doesn't come without the sacrifices and without the hard work.
No, that's quite right, quite right. I'm thinking of tweeting when my alarm goes off at 5 a.m. tomorrow, just to see what everybody thinks about that one.
Exactly.
It's the way to do it, definitely. It's the way to do it. Loads to go through, Carlton, as ever. We're going to talk England shortly. Of course, they're going to be playing at Elland Road Thursday night and the last game ahead of the World Cup against Costa Rica. But let's start with Leeds United, shall we? Because it all kicked off at the end of last week. Paul Heckingbottom leaving the club and lots of rumours surrounding this legendary Argentine manager, Marcelo Bielsa. Let's talk about Paul Heckingbottom. First of all, Carlton, I mean, the fans were divided on Paul Heckingbottom. He didn't have a great run, but there weren't any of his players. Do you feel a bit sorry for Paul Heckingbottom, or do you think he just didn't grab the opportunity by both hands?
I feel sorry for him. I always feel sorry for a manager that comes in who inherits another manager's players and he's not able to put his stamp on it. It was difficult, like I said, for him. It really was. And I was hoping that they'd give him the summer to have a go at looking at the squad and getting it right for the following year. You don't just become a bad manager. I mean, he's done a fantastic job at Barnsley. You don't just become a bad manager. And if something's already cast, as it was at Elland Road, and is at Elland Road, then it's very difficult for him. So I do feel for him in the situation. I really do.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it, really? But I suppose looking at the positives from a Leeds United point of view, if they were thinking about making this change, at least they've done this now and not 6 games into the season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're undecided on him, I mean, I'll say what I say. I mean, I do feel sorry for Paul, but at the end of the day, he understands he's in a resource-based industry. And whilst he didn't have his own players in there, he didn't get enough results. And if he'd have got, I'm sure, if he'd have got some more results from, you know, within that period, then he may still have been in work. So, you know, for Leeds United, if you're going to make a change, make it in the summer. That is for sure.
lots of talk about who will next be the Leeds United manager. Well, there's a lot of people, and certainly if you look at the bookies odds, there's been a lot of talk about this Argentine manager, Marcelo Bielsa, who was in charge of Argentina at one point, most recently Lille. I think they've called him El Loco. He's famed for having 2 3-hour press conferences, which I'm sure the journalists are really looking forward to. What are your thoughts? I mean, to be honest with you, I had not heard of this manager, and now I've done some reading in the last week, and it sounds very intriguing and quite exciting.
Well, I'm not convinced, I'll be honest with you. His style hasn't worked at his last few clubs. He's well renowned in the game as being a very good coach. There's no question about that. I think he's as I say, in the game, people look up to him as being a very good coach. He likes to play high tempo, attacking football. He likes his teams to recover the ball back when they lose possession very quickly. A lot of managers adopted his style. If you read about Pep Guardiola and people like that, they've all adopted his style of management. Well, that's all well and good if you're Pep Guardiola and you can adjust your sides at Bayern Munich and at Manchester City or wherever you go to bring the players in who can play that type of football. He's not going to be able to do that at Leeds United. So that's my big worry for him.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Sorry, I thought I lost you. No, I mean, he's not going to be able to do that at Leeds United. I mean, this is what I don't understand from these football clubs. Get somebody who's got a connection to the club. Give the fans a bit of lift of somebody. I mean, you look at Derby now, they've got a feel-good factor with Frank Lampard going in there. You look at West Brom with Darren Moore. You know, yeah, there might be a bit of excitement with all these foreign names that have been mentioned with a job, but you know, I'd like to see, you know, from the supporters' point of view, they would like to see somebody that they identify with, you know.
I sort of agree with you. I mean, all the talk was after Christensen went, is they need a manager with a proven championship record who knows the league inside out. Well, they had that with Paul Heckingbottom. He did know the league. He's certainly a proven manager, and he knew what this league was all about. You're going to then to someone that has no experience whatsoever in the English second tier, and that concerns me.
No, it without a shadow, and has no idea what the championship's about. It's a tough, tough league. It really is. And, I don't care what anybody says, unless you've played in that league or experienced that league. Same as the Premier League. You have no idea until you get involved in it. And Pep Guardiola found that out in a harsh manner in his first season when he came out. So a lot of players, when they come over here, find that. A lot of managers in the championship will tell you how tough it is. So that's why I'm saying I'm a little bit disappointed that they're giving Paul, who knows the league, a chance to stamp his authority on that league and bring in his own players and move things around. I'm a little bit disappointed that he's not been given this opportunity. And I'm not saying this Marcelo won't come in and do well, but I think if he thinks he's going to play that style of football, Christensen, who was there before, you know, they started off the season and they were playing that brand of football. Then they got found out. You can't, you know, you've got to be able to mix and match in that league. You've got to be physical when you've got to be, and when you've got to earn that right to play. I mean, when we got out of that league, we had in the team, the spine was ruthless. Nigel Pearson, myself, and David Hurst. And then you got Mark Bright. So then you can have your flair players because your spine's ruthless. Your goalkeeper's Chris Woods. Then you've got, you know, you can have your flair players of your Chris Waddles and your John Sheridans. But the side was made up of durable players, Nigel Worthington, Roland Nielsen, players who are going to churn out and play 60 games a season and get you 7.5 or 8 out of 10. And that's how you get out of the league. And then those players, because they've got that quality, can then transfer into the Premier League as we did, finishing third or fourth the following year. as you know, and you've seen the blueprint of it is Sean Dyche at Burnley. The blueprint is Neil Warnock, love him or hate him, he knows how to do it. You know, it's not easy.
But one name that, I mean, he's still in the bookies. I think he's like third or fourth favourite at the moment. And Leeds fans were getting all excited about Mick McCarthy only, what, a month or so ago. But now all the talk is about Bielsa because maybe they're a little bit further down the line. But Mick McCarthy, it just sounds it's crying out. The time is right for Mick McCarthy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a big admirer of Mick McCarthy. He knows what he's doing. He knows about the league. The fans had... The fans would gravitate towards his honesty and his straightforwardness. You know, he calls a spade, he calls his players. If they're not doing it, if he's not at it, he says he needs to do better. He's done it everywhere he's been. And, you know, he's not had no money up at Ipswich, nothing at all. And to get them into the playoffs, to get them there or thereabouts, you know, he's done a fantastic job at Ipswich Town, really has. But you see, sometimes the supporters have grandeur above what they're capable of doing. And Ipswich Town supporters believe, nothing wrong with that, that they should be in the Premier League. But, you know, Mick was punching above his weight when he got them into the playoffs or just short of the playoffs with no money. And people don't realise the job he's done with the squad of players and the money that was available to him. For me, that is, you know, Mick McCarthy, Irishman, at Elland Road, no nonsense, in the ilk of Norman Hunter, Billy Bremner. It's just a great fit, isn't it?
But I tend to agree with you. I think it's an interesting one. The only other name that sort of appeals is Claudio Ranieri, who's, again, up in the shorter odds. It's Bielsa, then Ranieri, and I think McCarthy in third position at the moment in the running. And so Ranieri, you know, he's done it. He's done it in the Championship, and he's certainly done it in the Premier League as well. That would be another one that I think quite a lot of Leeds fans would be quite happy with, the Tinkerman.
Well, the fact is he's done it, hasn't he? He's proven, he knows the league. I think Ranieri, if he came in, I think, you know, Craig Shakespeare is still available at the moment, I believe, because he's gone out of Everton with Sam Allardyce, who worked with him as his assistant when Leicester won the league title. So, you know, he knows what he's about. He knows the game. He doesn't have to have fortunes in money. He's a very, very good coach. You know, again, I, to be honest with you, you're talking about a tried and trusted name. So, again, I can't go against that. I can't go against that. But I like clubs when you have somebody. It's like Zinedine Zidane at Real Madrid. There's affinity with the football club, isn't there? There's a feeling from the supporters with the football club and a feeling within Zinedine and a feeling within the supporters. And that's great. It's a great chemistry because even when things are not going right, the supporters believe that he's giving his all for the football club. And a club that like Leeds, which is so passionate, do you know what I mean? A Gordon Strachan, maybe a Gary McAllister, somebody like that, just lifts the club. They have a feeling about it, you know?
Exciting times again for Leeds fans. Apparently, they're going to be making a decision in there, but by the end of the week, we've heard. So we'll find out very shortly. Of course, by the end of the week, England will be finished with their pre World Cup friendlies. Elland Road on Thursday night is the host for England against Costa Rica. What were your thoughts on the Nigeria game at the weekend against Wembley? First half performance, I thought England looked fantastic personally.
Yeah, I mean, I'll never take a lot from friendlies, I'll be honest with you, because they mean nothing. You can look great in friendlies. I mean, you look at the amount of teams that go unbeaten in pre-season and then the league starts and they can't win two openings. But, you know, like I've said to you, I'm very optimistic about England. I'm glad they put Cahill in. I believe there was an injury and he's got in there. I think he's the outstanding defender for England. I know that Gareth likes Stones, and Stones is a very good footballer. But for me, against the better teams, he'll get found wanting. He's not a great defender. He's a good footballer, and I know the way that he's balancing it off at the moment with your boy from Man City, Kyle, who's got the pace in there. But Gary knows how to defend, and he has that experience. I look at them from an attacking point of view. I think they are going to cause some problems. They are going to have to adapt. You know, I thought in the second half against Nigeria, they made a couple of tactical changes, and England didn't really, you know, they kept playing the same way. And what we've got to do is, when people try to nullify our pace, nullify the creativity that we've got, we've got to change the system and change the way we play to create team. And that's what you've got to be able to do. And if we can do that, as I said, I am very, very optimistic with the players we've got. You know, the boy Sterling, I said he's having a fantastic first half. A lot of everything that was good was coming through him. You know, Harry Kane's always going to score goals. And then Dele Alli, we've got a nice blend. We've got a nice blend. And there's probably one or two players who sat out that game who probably will be in the starting lineup come the World Cup.
No real shocks in his final 23-man squad. I suppose the headlines really were all about the keeper, really, because Jordan Pickford's been given the number one shirt. So you would imagine, I mean, he played the full game, the full 90 minutes in the win over Nigeria. So you'd imagine the Everton goalkeeper is going to be first choice on the team sheet as England's keeper during the World Cup.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's not been given the number one for no reason, has he? He's had a solid season for Everton, and I don't think I applaud Southgate. You don't pick a player on reputation. Joe's not played enough football this season, and so whilst I think I've always been a big admirer of Joe Hart, I think he's a fantastic goalkeeper, but he's not played enough football this season. So you can't pick on reputation. You have to pick on players that are banging form and playing well. So I think Pickford's a good choice. Either one of those three keepers he's taken for me could have taken the number one jersey.
Yeah, it's a strong squad. One thing, you may have talked about this with Joe, but all the furore around Raheem Sterling in this last week, the British media absolutely do my head in. When you get closer to a tournament, there's always one player they will target. It always used to be Gazza or it was Beckham. There's always a player they target before a tournament, and it almost just seems so destabilising ahead, you know, of a massive tournament like this.
Well, they do. I mean, they go, as I say, we talked about this last week. I think the media go after footballers now because of jealousy. I really do believe that they think they can drag these footballers down because it's jealousy over money. I mean, I'm not being funny with you. If you're earning 300 grand a week and you want to get a private jet to go on holiday, why? Nobody says anything when George Clooney does it.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, you work hard, you earn your money, how you choose to spend it is of nobody's business, right? Whether people think it's ridiculous or not, let's get this right. The Premier League is the most marketable league in the world. And without the football players, there is no league. So the football players are going to earn the money. That's as simple as it is. But nobody says anything in America when, you know, Shaq O'Neal's earning ridiculous amounts of money. I mean, first draft picks are earning as much as Raheem Sterling, who's a proven international now. You know, so I think there's a lot made about the money these players are earning, and there's a lot made about, you know, the instead of, you know, getting behind the national team, or in any aspect. I'll give you take it out of football. Let's go to boxing now. Anthony Joshua has done fantastic things. He's lifted British boxing, and already you can see this negativity after the Parker fight. Oh, he didn't knock him out. He just unified the heavyweight championship of the world that hasn't been done for how many years, and yet we as a nation are looking to knock him down. We like, as Britain, we like to lord losers. We like to lord people who are second best. And when we've got people who are the best, we seem to, oh, Steve Davis, oh, he's boring. Oh, well, he wins. You know, I can name loads of people who've been successful that we haven't really had the credit. You look at Mayweather in boxing, he's never had the credit for being as good as, because people don't like the fact that he shows off about his money. But he's earned that. You don't go 50 fights unbeaten. You're not telling me he's not turned up for a fight, he's not felt well. You're not telling me he's not turned up for a fight and he's been injured, but he's found a way to win. So we in Britain have to learn to appreciate what we've got. And we have got a talented young side. They may not win the World Cup, but let's get behind them. Let's not pull them down. Let's not drag them down. Let's encourage them and let's see how far we can go. Because with support behind them, you can do an awful lot more. You look at Josh Warrington, which I always compare football to boxing. You look at Josh against Lee Selby. I'd have had Lee Selby giving him a lesson all day long. But the Ellen Road crowd got behind him, and it's huge. It's massive. It's a massive lift. When I used to play at Leeds, and we used to come out in the second half, and we might be 1-0 down or 2-1 down, and they started to go, it was like having a 13th or 14th man. It's huge. But we go to Wembley, and we might be having a difficult period, and the fans go quiet.
It's certainly getting exciting. Actually, I just noticed something as well. Someone threw this stat at me earlier on Twitter that England's World Cup players, if anybody's complaining that, oh, we play too much football, there's no winter break, we play more football than anybody else. Actually, England's players have played less club football this season than Spain, France and Brazil counterparts. So no one can complain about that.
No, but that's what I'm saying. We've got a chance. But you know why that is? Rashford's hardly played this season, right?
Yeah.
So that's why we're saying what they're saying.
They're fresh.
A lot of those players aren't playing, you know, the young players aren't playing in the first team in their teams. So that's why we can say that for the first time, we've got players going into the tournament who are relatively fresh because they're not playing for their club teams. Not on a regular basis.
No, it's very. I'm actually. You've got me a bit excited. I swore I wasn't going to get excited, Carlton. You've got me a little bit.
But that's what I'm saying to you. You need to get excited because that's what it's about. You know, it's about the old country having a bit. You know, Anthony Joshua walking out, it just lifted the whole country in doing what he's doing. It gives young kids hope. Whether he won or he didn't win, he put 90,000 in Wembley, 90,000 in the Principality, and it lifts. And what I'm saying is, forget whether they do well or not, it just, even if it's for 1 week or 2 weeks, it gives a feel-good factor in the country when people are struggling to pay their rent, they're struggling to make ends meet. It's just, you know, having that feel-good factor and giving that to the players and they feel that, it, rather than the negativity, so they're going out and they're feeling, oh, I can't afford to fail. No, it gives them the energy to go out there to work harder to try and succeed. Honestly, it makes a massive difference. I've been out there when I'm walking out playing for England, frightened of making a mistake. And you should never play the game that way. But that's the pressure that comes with playing for the national team. It's a government health warning. It really is. But for these younger boys, they will play without no fear. A lot of them, you know, Dele Alli, I know, won't give two monkeys. Kane doesn't give two monkeys, right? Raheem Sterling doesn't give. They won't be able to affect those young players, and that is the beauty of what's going to happen this year. If they can get off on a roll, and I mean this, if they can get off on a roll, I'm telling you now, the quarterfinals are better. I'm telling you that now.
I tell you what, who's not going to make the quarterfinals is the Man City winger Leroy Sané. I don't know if you saw this. He left out of the 23-man World Cup squad for Germany. A lot of people are saying it's like he doesn't get on too well with his teammates. It's not a playing decision. It's more of a character decision that he's been left out.
I don't know. I don't really know the boy. I think I've seen him play, and I think he's a talented boy. But if the one thing about the Germans, they like that camaraderie because the way they play, the way they go into tournaments that, you know, slow, and then ignite, you know, they need to have that togetherness. So if they believe that there's players who are not in that group, they won't include them. They just won't.
It's going to be an interesting World Cup. There's no doubt about that. Carlton, as ever, always a pleasure. Thanks very much for joining us on Proper Sport this week.
Yeah, just before you go, though, can I just say this? I've just seen Henry Winter, and I'm a big fan of Henry Winter. We get on very, very well, and I think he's a very intelligent man, and he writes some great articles. But I was sad to, I get where he's coming from, but I was sad to read in the Times today that he feels that the England players, if they're racially abused, should walk off the football pitch. I'm 100% against that. If the authorities do not act, it's them, it's their decision to make that if those boys, are the black boys in the team, are being abused, FIFA should make the decision to pull the teams off or act. Never, as a black player, should you ever walk off the pitch if the authorities don't do it, because that shows a sign of weakness. And I'm not showing any sign of weakness. You can call me all the names you want to in the stand, because all you're doing is fueling me to play better against you. What we need is the authorities to deal with countries, with nations, with football clubs. If there's racism within their stands and within their stadiums, FIFA and the FA need to deal with it, not the players. The players themselves, right, have to stand strong and perform and show these people who are bigots, show these people who are small-minded that they have the character and the resilience, no matter what they do, to succeed.
Well said, Carlton. Carlton, we'll catch you next week.
Okay, cheers, thank you.
This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.